When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in. It's the morning after the draft.
Whoa, brother.
I am dead.
That is the lowest energy you could have given.
Oh, brother.
The people deserve better, Kyle.
And what they'll get is a lonely, lonely man. A man who is just the shell of who I used to be. Because I knew who I was before the draft, Mike.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I don't even know what to share. I will say this. We're going to have a good episode talking through our reactions. We'll give some betting reactions. I'm in studio with Mike in Arizona, and I've seen you laugh a lot, Mike.
Yeah.
You're actually it comes natural to
me. Oh, I love laughing. I love comedy. I'm an easy laugh. It feels good, man.
Last night, I don't know if I've ever seen you uncontrollably laugh out of just nowhere. Michael Penix would just come to Mike's mind.
Yeah.
He would just lose it.
Yeah. It was an incredible night. The draft was so much fun. Then for us, compounded by we had the huge draft special on NFL Plus. We flew Kyle out because we're like, dude, we got to have our stats guy here in the building for the show. And then we all get to enjoy the draft together in the same room. It's a really fun communal event. And on like the first 7 picks, you know, we have our game that we play on the main podcast of how many picks can you get right, which is, it's extremely difficult because you get one thing wrong and it just cascades every other thing that you picked is now wrong. And through the first 7 picks, it was strange because it was exciting and yet
pretty chalky.
I mean, even when the Cardinals were on the clock at number 4, the only thing I think we were really waiting for was, do they trade out? And as soon as it flashes, the pick is in, it was, oh, okay, here it is. It Marv, the Cardinals are going to do it. They're not, no one offered enough to move up. And so it was a little anticlimactic. It was a big sigh of relief as an Arizona Cardinal fan to know that we were going to do the right thing.
Something logical.
Something extremely logical, like your team has a desperate need and there is a elite player there for that need. So through the first 7 picks, you know, it was fun. And then pick 8 was, the whole setup, if you missed the special, look, that we're going to be reliving this story over and over and over, but I'm sure we'll go at length on the main pod, but the short version is I was very vocal in my chastising of Ian Rappaport when they put him on the screen. He said, I think the Falcons are going to take Penix Jr. And you could see in his face, the tone of his voice that
yes,
this is a man like, I don't know if I should be reporting this.
Like, I could never be credible ever again.
Yes.
After this.
And that's how I felt. I was like, dude, this is you. What are you shilling right now, man? Like trying to drive up weird interest in the. We're watching the draft. You're trying to make it more exciting. I don't know, because that's the stupidest thing that the Atlanta Falcons could possibly do. There's no way. And then Shazam from downtown, Michael Penix Jr. goes to the Falcons. And the room, if you haven't seen the video, it's all over our Twitters. Kyle grabbed an incredible screenshot of it. The room erupts in full, uncontrolled, riotous laughter. Andy and Jason went the extra. They were just pointing at you, like a full schoolyard point and laugh.
It brought me back to to elementary.
Did you feel like you were getting bullied?
I did, and then I was able to separate myself, knowing that God gives his toughest struggles, you know, to Falcons fans. And it is funny, if you watch the video, the very end, you put your hands on your head to the point of going like, no, like this, there is something off in the universe. So yes, it was a genuine moment. I will say that. Like,
yes, it was.
It was.
How did I haven't really been able to like talk to you about it
because I haven't been able to talk to myself about it.
How? Like, what thoughts start going through your mind? Who did you think they were going to pick?
So I also went through all this. By the way, Mike and I are having our cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You're going to get to talk to us. We'll talk through most of the picks, some betting perspectives, and Betts, who wanted to give one at the very end. We'll give a little prop that you guys can take. But I wanted us to go under the radar. You know, there was a chance for us to take an edge, trade back. Right. Just take the best player, Dallas Turner, whoever.
Take at that point.
Latu.
It was like the run of offensive players turned unprecedented. But at that point, it was still like, this is wild. We're at pick 8, and no one has taken a defender. You could have had your top defender on the board.
Like the range of outcomes for this team was, we take a player, and no one thinks about the Falcons for the next day or two. Like no one would talk about them.
Right.
Instead,
go about your business.
I tried to explain to my wife, like, I don't think you get it. Like, this isn't just like a, like, this might be the most talked about and laughed about pick of all time in the NFL.
Yes.
Like, people are going to compare it to Jordan Love, and, we'll talk about that more, but it's like, it was a different situation. It was later in the draft. It was a team that, look at the Falcons as a win now team. I went through and watched the press conference just to move through the stages, Mike. That's where I was.
Who was talking at the conference?
Terry Fontenot, the GM,
okay.
And Raheem Morris.
Oh, both. All right.
Both together. And I will say that they had like kind of a collective approach where they clearly talked it out. Okay, here's how we're going to do this together. The reasoning behind it, though, is quite strange. And one of the things they emphasized a couple of times was, we know we won't be back up in the top 10 for a long time, which is a major assumption for a team that has picked 4th, 8th, 8th, and 8th. All right, offensive
right.
skill position players. Uh-huh. The first time ever somebody's done that 4 drafts in a row. So the first assumption was there's no way. And I was looking at the over-under for the Falcons because they're divisional favorites, NFC South, and their over-under was at 9.5, and a ton of money came in on the under last night, which makes a ton of sense. But
right.
The other thing they said, which was quite confusing, and maybe you can help me with the logic because I'm not really seeing it, is – they basically said, well, this draft clearly had a lot of quarterbacks going early. And so, it was just there. And I was like,
we're all trying to find the guy who did this. Like, were they wearing the hot dog suit?
Apparently, because I was like, you caused this to happen. Like, you are the team that caused this run of quarterbacks. Because
right.
everybody knew what was going to happen the first 3 picks. They're like, oh, there's 6 quarterbacks in the first round. Yes, because you were one of them. So,
which... And I guess we'll go point by point. I don't know. But in the defense of that, it at least is reported. You never know what is true or what is not. But then last night, a report came out that it was, who was it? The Saints,
Seahawks,
the Seahawks,
Raiders.
And the Raiders were all trying to get in the top 10 for Michael Penix. Which, I hate so much about this whole situation. Is the man, the player, Michael Penix of...
Yes.
He is... He's did nothing wrong. He did everything right, in fact. He earned his way to becoming a top 10 draft pick, and now this is what we're talking about. And I've heard, various arguments in favor of stock up on quarterback, which I don't disagree with.
In a game, like we're playing a game, yes. Thinking about it that way, yes.
Now, game theory is you got to get your quarterback. And it's to the point of, like, I'm thinking about it, okay, someone had the 101, takes who they think is the best quarterback on the board. At 201, there's another great quarterback prospect on the clock here. It would be really controversial to do it, but
two shots.
But that one makes sense to me. But that's not what happened. These aren't it's not a team of unproven kids. It's a team that paid $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins to come in and win right now. So the stock up on quarterback argument to me, it doesn't make sense.
In this context.
Like, yeah. Yes, exactly. And if they're saying, you know, well, we're not going to be in the top 10. Okay, so you're planning for everything to go right.
That's
you're
assumption.
Not planning for worst case scenario. You're planning for everything to go right. So why not edge that probability?
It's a best ball league. It's a best ball league. You draft, you know, whichever gives you the better score. And so Fontenot, the GM of the Falcons, also came out and said, and I quote him saying, "We never really got any big offers for the pick." And I don't know if he's posturing, but come on, man. Like, nobody was trading before then. So
yeah. Who cares if you didn't get an offer?
Yeah. So I don't want this to be a Falcons-only podcast, but it is.
It's the story of the draft.
Yeah. And it's something I'm going to have to explain to my kids. Hey, Dad, who did we take? Oh, don't worry. He's not getting any snaps this year, buddy.
He's 24 right now. Maybe Cousins gets hurt. I don't know. But that's, again, that's a plan for the worst. That's not a plan for the best scenario.
Yes.
Theoretically. He should be 26 by the time that Kirk Cousins' guaranteed money goes away. Is that right?
Yeah. If there's 2 years and then there's another $10 million guarantee that they can like move around.
To.
Yeah, which that's cool. That makes sense in like a lot of markets where you can do that. Daniel Jones, it was basically like a 2-year deal and then they'll figure it out. Kirk Cousins is not Daniel Jones. Kirk Cousins is supposed to be a player that you market to your franchise.
Yes.
Basically tell everybody this is the next step. And I think we were all buying that over the last 2 months.
Right. Yeah, because that was the actions. And now, I mean, there's just so many things. The scenario of Jordan Love and Rodgers, those guys are in the 20s. And then like you talk about the case for like in terms of Jordan Love, they could have had an impact player. Maybe they win a Super Bowl. And I know that's a big maybe,
right.
but they didn't. And your true ultimate goal is to win Super Bowls. At least I would think so. Like if I'm the NFL owner, yeah. And I'm giving GMs and head coaches tons and tons of cash, I'm not doing it because I want to have a good time and have a good run into the playoffs. I want a Super Bowl. I want to be great. I want to be connected with the one for the NFL greatest of all time. Like, what an owner, you know, like Robert Kraft. People know who Robert Kraft is. I guess people kind of know who Arthur Blank is because of
Home Depot and other stuff.
Yeah, but it's just like not every NFL owner is known,
right.
At least and not known for NFL.
He wants to win. He's willing to put the money in. But I'll just say, you know, from a team building perspective. I'm not even trying to say a Falcon fandom. It's like there's going to be revisionist history, whatever happens in 2 or 3
yes.
years. That's how we do it with our franchise. And from a team building standpoint, this is what I talked to Betts this morning. Betts, you know, he's like, hey, I just need to check in before the show. How are you really feeling? It's really assuming that they thread the needle on a bunch of stuff. The second round, the third round picks, and what you're saying, Mike, like they're assuming they're not going to be in the top 10 again.
Right.
They're assuming all these things. So it's tough.
And y'all about to lose some picks.
That's what my joke yesterday was like, did we lose this pick and they made us pick Penix just as like penance?
They like the investigations for tampering are going on and the NFL takes tampering serious. We just had it was a you know a self-reported one, but the Cardinals just last year to bring in their head coach from Philadelphia, what was they like they forced him to swap like a third round back
Right.
I mean, it was.
Hopefully, it's not anything. Usually, like if it's a fifth or sixth, we're like, okay, yeah, we don't think about it as much.
But
like,
what if what's a day two pick?
I mean, Miami had to lose their first a couple years ago, so it's like, it can happen. It's just, yeah, I only know pain. So when you're talking about Super Bowl aspirations, I don't really have a rosy outlook on that thing. But we also play a game. We play a game called Fantasy Football, and we try to project where things are moving forward. So Mike and I are going to walk through some of the picks of the first round and kind of say, we didn't see this coming based on mocks, because Betts and I have done a lot of work. He put out two different betting mock drafts before Betts went under the knife. By the way, he's great. He's doing fine.
Yeah. The call of the day, one of, there's so many good ones, but Betts awaking and messaging our Slack saying, like, I just had a surgery and somehow I'm not the one who had the worst day. Incredible.
He was spot on.
Incredible.
He was spot on. He told me too that the first thing he asked when he woke up was, who did the Eagles pick? And the lady's like, what are you talking about? And then he had to see the panic stuff. So it was a pretty wild time.
Sensational.
We do have a lot of stuff coming up for the month of May and June on this podcast, including, you know, we're about to release the next update of the Dynasty Pass, which is part of the Ultimate Draft Kit Plus. If you get the UDK Plus, you know you also get the DFS Pass, and Betts and I will be putting out some of our win totals, which, I mean, to toot our own horn in the midst of my suffering, like, win totals is what Betts and I think are best at. It's a tough market that you're trying to see way far out, but that's something we're going to have an entire show on, and premium content that's in the DFS Pass. So, udkplus.com. Mike, you have a busy weekend updating everything.
Yeah, absolutely. All the rookie rankings, the dynasty startup rankings, the trade targets, which they look, trade targets are really tough, especially before the draft, because things have changed. They were doing extremely.
We were killing it.
Extremely well of identifying players that perceptually in the market, their value went up. And so if you had grabbed them, then their value went up. Then the Raiders do things to, like, Michael Mayer, who I thought was a tremendous trade for target, because he's so under the radar. Like, he has been lost to Laporta and Dalton Kincaid. And meanwhile, here's second round Michael Mayer in a great spot. And then they draft Brock Bowers.
I mean, 34th pick overall, Michael Mayer, with a insane production profile. He's not like some random college tight end. So
good player.
We'll see what they do. I guess they're just going to run the ball and just high tee it.
Yeah, but run? Is this Zamir White time?
With Aiden O'Connell, and they're just they're a weird team. Luke Getsy is. Do you remember that story with Luke Getsy where Antonio Pierce, like, I don't know how the Bears beat us, but they beat us with that backup quarterback, and I just really like what Luke Getsy was doing there, so I brought him in. I'm like, dude, like, you got beat by the Bears, and so you said, I need this guy to be my offensive coordinator.
Humans are funny.
It was a weird, weird, weird time, but we'll walk through part of this draft. Let's do it right now.
Hey, rookie. Welcome to the NFL.
So our goal isn't to, you know, simply recap. You've probably got a ton of that. And if you haven't watched the NFL Plus special, it's still on there, right, Mike? They can check it out.
It's on demand if you want to go watch. It was a good time.
It was a great time. My feedback to the guys was, man, we're really good at stumbling into dumb things and funny things.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's what we do best.
Yeah, it was super fun. But Caleb Williams at number one. Early on, one of the things that we've been working through with quarterbacks is we've kind of been like, for fantasy, they're not very good. They're kind of held back. And then we've kind of discovered over the last 5 years, really since Kyler Murray, teams are letting the quarterback throw more and more. You saw that with C.J. Stroud last year. And the offensive coordinator for the Bears, Shane Waldron's kind of been a pass-heavy guy. They take Rome Odunze. So to me, it's very easy to be bullish on that. His line on DK is 3,500 yards, passing yards, for Caleb Williams. Now, we talked also and kind of joked about the Bears' passing record. It's like 3,800 yards. Yeah. So what are your early takes on that offense and just passing volume-wise? Like, 3,500 yards feels like an achievable number if they're going to throw this much and they have the weapons for him.
Yeah, I'll pull it up if you don't know off the top of your head, but what was Bryce at last year?
His passing yardage?
2,877.
What's funny is Betts and I took the under on his passing yards because it was.
Oh yeah, no, I was in with you guys. Yeah,
yeah, and it was like around this total. I need to look back, but it was like 3,600 yards, 3,700 yards for Bryce Young. So I think we can be a little bit more bullish going in, just based on the weapons alone and the pass offense. But I don't know. Like, we're not giving out an official like this is what we're gonna do. But like, I kind of like the over.
Yeah, that's where I would lean right now. The bringing in Odunze as well at pick number 9, I'm so happy for Bears fans.
Yes,
because this is like, not everything works, of course, but they're really taking a shot. Like, they're getting after it. They made really tough decisions early with trading Justin Fields away. Just looking and saying, hey, you're an okay quarterback, but you're not going to get us where we need to go. So trade him away. That's in like the Arizona Cardinals did that recently too. Theirs was a little more extreme because it was 1 year of Josh Rosen, and then the team bailed and said it's not going to work. But it's still a bold move when to go to an unknown quarterback, even with his pedigree, he's still an unknown player, versus Justin Fields, who you know can win some games for you. So I love that, bringing in an alpha wide receiver. So I would lean taking the over on that one as well.
Yeah, we've seen, I mentioned it, but rookie quarterbacks over the last 5 years, the average pass rate for teams that have a rookie quarterback is 13th league. Like, that's kind of where CJ Stroud Texans were, where it's like, sweet, we're going to get some passing volume. Caleb Williams' passing touchdown number is at 23.5. And
ooh, that one's tougher.
It's super tough. And when I said over earlier, I said it with like a little bit of trepidation because we hate giving overs. Because there's many ways that they fail, injury, everything else, unfortunately. But it's the best situation we've seen since Andrew Luck for a 101. And I think it's going to be warranted. Like, I came into the process with Caleb Williams on our Dynasty show. Like, I'm going to find out why he's wrong just because that's my contrarian nature. And I've kind of come around like, I think this is going to work.
I was talking about too of, you know, in a super flex, how I would, before we knew landing spots and everything, it was, no, I'm pretty locked in. I want these three wide receivers. So I feel so confident that they're all going to be great. And then the Keenan Allen trade happened and it was, whoa, brother, this, like, you can't ignore. You can't ignore the power of Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. And then they're like, hold on, let us cook. What if one of those three wide receivers you love so much, we're going to put him on the team too?
I went into this just feeling sad for Keenan just because of how much he's meant to me. And now I'm like, cool, this could be a playoff team and a fun team.
Who has a better record? The Chargers or the Chicago Bears?
Dang it.
I don't know what what the win total is right now.
I need
right
to remind
now.
Myself like what we had in our early projections and what we had. It's so hard when you look at the Chargers. You look at Greg Roman and Harbaugh and their track record. The Bears over-under right now is at 8.5. The over is minus 140. So, you know, 9 wins seems like it's on the table.
Yeah. They were surging, improving.
And the Chargers were at 9.5 as well. So I think they're pretty much the same spot. I would say I would lean into the Chargers. But when has that gotten right for anybody to believe in the Chargers?
Not lately.
Yeah, not good. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So we went Williams at one, Daniels at two, May at three, kind of like we saw in a lot of mocks, and it got steamed up. This is kind of a lesson the last 2 years of there's always a back and forth. There's not a consensus of these picks. And then 2 or 3 days before, when you start to see things moving in the betting markets, like it did with CJ Stroud last year, it's like, okay, these seem pretty close with the quarterbacks.
Drake May, remember, had some movement yesterday.
Yesterday to go to two?
Yeah.
I wanted it.
He went from, I think they were saying it was like plus 650 down to plus 200.
People were just getting in bets. They were thirsty. We know people listening to this were like, I think I could win on this one. I play some too. So Daniels, May, I think the conversation I want to have here is these teams stink and they're really, really bad. We took an under on the Commanders a couple of podcasts ago where their over under was at 6.5. Some places had them at 7.5. And
oh, 7.5, that would have been easy for me.
Super easy. But you're banking on a lot with a team with basically the worst defense in the league, and you're banking on Dan Quinn coming in and fixing it. And we've talked a lot about defensive head coaches. I need some Cliff thoughts from you, because it's easy for me to like not think about him and just kind of say like, here's why this team's so bad. Here's why this division is so tough. So offensive-wise, can this work with Jaden Daniels?
I think it can work because I believe that Jaden Daniels is a special player. And that's basically what happened with Kyler Murray being unfortunately for Kyler, he doesn't have the physical stature of a lot of these other guys. So, but he's still a really good football player and a good quarterback. But it always, watching the Cardinals pretty closely, it always felt like Kyler was making it happen. And not a look at this Sean McVay system, where look at that scheme. Like, what an incredible play of player X being wide open. It never felt like that for Kyler, and I mean specifically like DeAndre Hopkins running what we called on the podcast the route bush, because it was not designing anything. It was just, hey, Hopkins, you kind of hang out over here, like, you know, 5 yards or so from the line of scrimmage, and we'll just get you the ball and then do something. That was the strategy. Hey, Hopkins, do something.
Bail us out, please.
It's like, what, spider 2Y, banana, flanker, Z, over, DeAndre Hopkins, do something, go. It's like, that's not a play call.
I feel like with Jaden, he's going to be one of those guys in DFS that's going to start off super cheap, and where you're going to go, like, it's kind of like Richardson last year. Richardson,
sure.
week one, was one of those guys you're like, you know what? He could easily do it. And we saw that with Richardson the first couple games. So the rushing matters.
He needs to learn how to protect himself.
Yes. We on the Dynasty podcast, we mentioned, like, this dude doesn't get down. His body type, like, he's going to get crushed.
Yeah, and the hits that you took in college – are not put 30 pounds of muscle on that defender and make him, you know, what, like 2 times stronger, much faster. It's not going to go well if you try and do that.
What's funny is I had the same thought about Burrow. I remember doing his like whole rookie profile of like, this dude, for what he was doing, like, could escape in college. It was a prolific offense. Like, both those LSU teams are like historic, but he did the same thing. He didn't get down. And so I remember writing up, like, in the NFL, like, he's going to get crushed. And we've seen Burrow get injured a few times just from escapability. The Patriots with May. The hard time I have with this team is they have the lowest over-under for win totals in the league. 4.5. The over is at 160. So I think I wouldn't pay that. I wouldn't want to pay that kind of juice. But I feel like this team is going to end up being, our defense is good, we're going to control the clock, and win some ugly games while the wide receiving core is the worst that's ever existed. And they're going to end up at, like, I don't know, 6-7 wins. And it's like, I feel like what this team needs is an alpha, and the only way you get that is you get them early in the draft. So I just have such an issue with May in the context that he has. Like, quarterback landing spot matters a ton. We saw that with Bryce Young. So I'm worried about May. I love May as a prospect. I just think this is the worst possible landing spot.
It probably is. We are recording.
Except for the Falcons.
Yeah. Oh, man. Remember when they drafted their backup at 8 overall? It's good times. They're pick 3, right?
Yeah.
Today, so we're recording before day 2 has happened. The lucky thing, in my opinion, for the Patriots, the way that the draft fell, where all of these wide receivers could have gone, like, you could have justified that that two, maybe two more, got selected in the first round. But then the way that the draft hit of all of these offensive players caused then all these other teams to just be licking their chops of, wow, all these really highly rated defensive players are here for us. And then Brian Thomas goes in the 20s to Jacksonville, who was frequently seen as the fourth best option at the wide receiver position. Right. Like, this tier, I think, still has a lot of really exciting players that they could go for, and I really hope that they do. I think it's the best way to reboot. Like, defense is fantastic, but reboot is your franchise quarterback, and then get what you hope is a franchise wide receiver. I don't know if you can find a true franchise guy where they're picking. I mean, you definitely can. It's much harder, but you definitely could find a guy who can, with the pair of those two, just turn the offense pretty quickly into a salvageable team. Not a great team,
right,
but a team that, if they have the defense that they believe that they will have, do enough.
Yeah, I think they're going to be more competitive than we realize. Like, just it's just going to be
gross. Antonio Gibson's there, man. Come on.
I do like some.
I mean, my champion is there.
There's a lot of teams in the second round.
How's Drake Maye checking it down?
Dude, he likes to go Josh Allen. He likes to just go.
That's not great.
No, not at all. But fun.
Just play Gibson at wide receiver.
He's done that before.
At Patriots. Just put Antonio Gibson in the slot and let him destroy people.
I feel like there's a lot of players that we'll find out today that get added that are just like, wow, I thought that guy was going to be a first rounder,
yeah,
and he gets added to this situation. So we're not going to speculate on that. I did want to finish on the quarterback. So I don't really have anything else to say about Penix, unless you got anything. I mean,
if there's his somehow Michael Penix went from a people projecting him to be a second rounder, fairly or unfairly, skyrockets to a top 10 player. And his dynasty value went down. Like, this was not Daniel Jones going from... I don't even remember what people thought of Daniel Jones at that point of the draft.
They thought the Giants were crazy, but...
Well, no. I remember that. Like, where was he supposed to go?
Not at 6 overall.
And because when he went 6 overall, I wouldn't say his value skyrocketed, but it went up. It went to the point of, oh, well, I guess we really have to pay attention to Daniel Jones. But Michael Penix, if everything goes the way that the Falcons hope it goes, Michael Penix won't be on the field.
He is 40-1, Mike, if you wanted to bet him for Offensive Rookie of the Year. If you're just really feeling spunky.
40-1? It's that high?
Yeah, I know. I'm really – this is a sick thing. I'm trying to see what he is for MVP. Just because
40 – I mean, that it should be like 100-1.
Yeah, right. So let me give you lay of the land for Offensive Rookie of the Year. It is, of course, Caleb Williams at +200. Marvin is at +600. Jaden Daniels at +650. J.J. McCarthy is an interesting one.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
At +800, and then you got Neighbors and May. But I think when it comes to, we'll talk about awards markets later, for rookies, we're looking for good. We're not looking for great. Like, C.J. Stroud was great for a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvin's interesting because he's in the situation to put up actual counting numbers. And we talked about this on the special last night, but like, there's been a run of rookie wide receivers hitting the
5,000
yard mark, right?
Yeah, 5 in a row.
And then we've had some like Puka and Ja'Marr Chase and Jefferson put up these monster seasons. His line right now, Marvin Harrison, is at 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he should hit it.
That's
honestly, in 17 games, he should hit that.
Are you just so happy?
Yes. Yes, I am. I was very, very happy that I don't ever have to wear pants again. And
I wanted to have that drop for this show, but
I'll get it cut up. I'll get it cut up. Oh, yeah. One more thing. I just remembered. They didn't tell Kirk Cousins they were going to draft a quarterback. This guy, you steal him away with the allure of money and
come back home
situation.
Where your family's from.
Come back home. All of these things. And then apparently right before they draft him, a guy, oh, yeah. And what was the thing that they didn't do a top 30 visit with him?
They flew out there to a private workout that was released, that like they went out there, they met with him, they felt good on the plane ride back. They were like, oh, I think this is the guy. But like the conceptual conversation within an organization, you have to be like, okay, I know this is wild, but like everyone, we're going to be on board. And here's why this is going to work. I mean, you have to have, not just from like coaching, the social media people are about to get destroyed for the next 2 weeks.
Dude, I mean, think of the level of, and I, this is all speculation, but I'm just trying to, you know, think about it from a human perspective of if you're that coaching staff and you go and you see him and you're like, I think this is the guy. The paranoia that you must have to be like, we can't show any other interest in him. We cannot do further research. We can't bring him in because then teams will know and they're going to, like, I understand that you want to secure your guy and don't let other teams on. That's the name of the game of draft season.
It sounds like fantasy football managers.
But the stakes aren't fantasy football.
I know.
The stakes are the number 8 overall pick, the future.
A billion-dollar organization?
The future of your franchise. Okay, that's enough panics.
Oh, man.
Until I think of more things.
They'll keep coming. And I've gotten to, like I said, I've moved from the denial, because the first part of the draft, I really thought, oh, maybe there's something I don't, maybe they have a trade worked out. Nope, they didn't have a trade. Then I've been in anger. But the problem is I have 4 years to get to bargaining, because that's when we'll see him on the field.
Now, sorry, we're back on it. But like, what the contract for Kirk Cousins, just how is it laid out? Was it like, it had to have a huge signing bonus. So
I can look up some details, but I know that his guaranteed is basically 48 and
but
a half,
I'm saying
the next 2 years each.
Is it at all theoretically possible that they trade him?
He has a no trade clause.
Okay. All right. Remove all that weird speculation.
No, they have.
I mean, he'd probably waive it. if you're Kirk Cousins. Dude, how do you manage these people? They're human beings. They're not just players. They're human beings with full emotions and families. And how, and I know Kirk Cousins is viewed as this softer spoken, but I mean, it could be a fiery leader, but the opinion of him seems to be very positive, as like, this is a good man.
Yes.
Even good men break when you feel like you have, injustice has been served.
Feels like the plot of a movie. Just
okay. All right, I promise. I'll try and stop.
No. And it's a good transition point for us, because I did see a really good meme that said that the Vikings and the Falcons both secured the successor to Kirk Cousins in the same draft. And they were excited about it. So J.J. McCarthy, and for those of you who don't know, Mike loves the Vikings. You know, he has family from there.
It's my second team.
Yeah, and the Chargers have been my second team, so I've made poor choices too. But this can work.
I love it. This was speculated a ton on the Dynasty podcast. Once JJ started to get steamed up into the first, it was, man, imagine if he gets to go to the Vikings, because my tape studies, this is a good quarterback, very accurate, makes good decisions. What will happen when the team is on his back and it's not high T, run, 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 because that the Vikings are not set up to do that. Even with Aaron Jones here, the running back position should be much better. But Aaron Jones, at this stage in his career, he can't be the focal point of the offense. And on top of that, you have Justin Jefferson, who you're about to give, you know,
the moon,
a Kirk Cousins level contract. So which is $100 million guaranteed.
Good job, Vikings.
Yeah, I mean,
They got Dallas Turner. Like, I feel like
they did fantastic.
Like, when you just look at boards and mock drafts and everything, I was like, oh, I didn't know that was possible to get both those players.
Yeah, honestly, even if the Jets fleeced them and convinced them to trade up to 10 of, like, just a full bluff, calling the Vikings saying, hey, our phone's ringing. Do you guys want to come up here and get – we know you probably want to get J.J. McCarthy. Our phone's ringing. You better come and get him. And they do. I mean, it wasn't a huge tax, especially if you're talking about a franchise quarterback. But even if that was completely untrue and they got just totally robbed of these picks, it doesn't matter. It does not matter because you secured J.J. McCarthy, and at the very least, you don't have to go into the season where everything is on Sam Darnold. Like, that's your hope, is that Sam Darnold is the future of your franchise.
Their win total, the Vikings, is at 6.5. The over's at -140. And it's a team that struggled last year when they said, hey, Cousins isn't here. Let's just see what Nick Mullins can do. Let's just let him.
Yeah, but that's what I mean of, like, the team was, they should have morphed, but they couldn't.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Kevin O'Connell, you know, he could have looked at J.J. McCarthy and said, oh, he doesn't fit what I want to do. He looked at him and said, I think this guy can progress in the type of player. I mean, they've been top five in pass rate. Like, they're a team that wants to throw the ball. So, and I was, by the way, very, very happy, sniffing my farts, when I saw on the screen the comp they gave for J.J. McCarthy was Alex Smith.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, okay, I got something right today.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, I don't know which broadcast people were watching, but the NFL Network broadcast, some of these, like, when the bullet points were, it was fantastic.
Winner.
Yeah. It's like, winner. Nasty. It was just, I'm like, dude, who's putting these things up?
I think it was Joe Alt that just said, enormous. They put somebody in charge of the bullet points and said, like, we want to keep these real tight this year, and let's just keep it that way. But there's a lot to like with the Vikings.
Yes, love it.
It's crazy with Justin Jefferson. I know this is more of a dynasty take, but, like, a week ago, you're like, oh, gosh, does this hurt him? And now you feel it stabilizes him. I'm not saying it's like this is this massive boost.
Yeah, we don't know if he can be as good as Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I like what the Vikings are doing. It's making a lot of sense. It's logical to draft players that are good that can help your team now.
Yes.
That's what I'm finding out. Let's take one more break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL.
Not the right drop, but hey, we've been places. I'm going to hit it one more time, Mike, because that's what I do.
I wasn't even going to say anything. I was going to let you fix it.
No, it's DFS, man. All right. We let it roll.
Any more buttons you want to push?
That's showbiz. That's the good stuff right there. I just want to talk through a couple more players, and I have a bet.
Do my buttons work? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to make this easy for Jeremy, maybe for Josh, we're just rolling with it. It's Friday morning. Let me just say this. Betts wanted to make sure that people had a prop.
All right.
And he wanted to give it out. So, Betts was under anesthesia, so whatever he said cannot be held up in a court of law. But he did have a Bo Nix one that he wanted to give. And the Broncos are bad, man. The Broncos are really bad. They're really low on draft capital. They don't have a ton of picks, and Russ is eating up 19% of their cap. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really bad. Bo Nix, is he the week one starter of this team, like, in your mind right now?
Ooh, over Stidham?
Over Stidham or Zach Wilson?
Oh, I forgot Wilson was there.
That's what I'm saying. They have the boys.
Look.
The crew.
Atlanta. That's how you smoke screen. Like, give a garbage pick away for a backup quarterback and give at least a few thoughts that oh, maybe the Broncos aren't going to be really aggressive this draft for one of the quarterbacks, which I guess they didn't have to be because Bo Nix just dropped them. It's weird to say someone dropped you at 12 when a lot of projections were this is not
a first
round. They
had a magnet and said we have to take a quarterback here.
First week starter, Bo Nix, I will say no. I think Stidham will start some games.
I'm in the same boat. What if I told you that Bo Nix and Zach Wilson are both 24 years old?
What?
Zach Wilson is 24 years old.
Oh, he my.
Turns 25 in August. And
you know who else is 24?
Not yet. I think May 8th. Michael Penix.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah, you know, we're giving him time.
You know whose birthday you get to celebrate in 2 weeks? His 24th birthday.
I hate that I know that fact. I hate that I will now get to May 8th. I think it's May 8th. But
we're back on it real quick because over this draft season, and I know you've shared some of your thoughts on the shows, but in the Slack, you have been even more ferocious in your stance of you hate when teams draft old quarterbacks. You hate it.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And
because it doesn't Joe Burrow worked. Joe Burrow worked.
I have questions
about Joe Burrow. Here's
it's more of a bit. It's more of a bit.
Because like if a guy carries your team to the Super Bowl, it worked.
And a second contract. And but, yes, no, I agree.
But you have many times talked about just how ridiculous it is that teams are going to draft these guys in the first round, and then your team drafted one.
You know, it makes me
so good.
Like I
busted.
I forget how you put it on Twitter. You said Kyle is, and then you made it clear he was a Falcons fan. Here lies Kyle. Yeah, that's not. It's not. Doesn't work out traditionally.
It was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Yeah. What?
At your expense. I'm so sorry.
I'm glad I could just.
I don't know why I'm apologizing because it's not real. It's fake. I'm not sorry. It was great. We all loved it so much.
Like, if anything, I got to fly across the country to just feel the pain.
Yeah.
And I'm feeding off it. And the thing is, I'm not turning it the other way and saying, here's why it was a good idea. No, I'm just taking it. Just taking the pain. All right. So back to Bo Nix. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be the week one starter either. And Betts was looking this up because his line for his passing touchdowns is 18.5, okay? Which all doesn't sound like a ton, you know?
Right.
But he looked up rookie quarterbacks that start 8 or more games since 2020. Did they hit 19 passing touchdowns? Okay. Here are the guys that did it. CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert.
Baker.
This is 2020.
Oh, okay.
And Mac Jones. Now here's
Mac Jones did it?
He did. He had a good. Oh,
good for you, Mac.
I know. He looked good after the first year. But here's all the guys that didn't do it. Bryce Young, Will Levis, Kenny Pickett, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Davis Mills, Joe Burrow, and Tua. And these are guys that started 8 or more games. I don't know how many games Bo Nix is going to start. Like, a lot of these teams end up doing what they did with Levis last year, where he started 9 games. We kind of knew that he'd eventually.
I'll take more than 9.
Okay.
I'll give Stidham like a month.
Okay. Good for him.
For Stidham?
Yeah, I feel bad for Stidham because he's just kind of been like there. And
he probably really thought this was his opportunity.
The progression of this team was Russell Wilson's our quarterback. Jared Stidham, we're going to talk about you being our quarterback. Then we're going to trade for Zach Wilson. Now we're drafting someone else.
Yeah.
Not good. So Betts really likes the under. When you just look at this team, their
offensive
weapons. he said Tim Patrick hasn't played since, well, a very long time. he says it's been a long time. Sutton, obviously older. Josh Reynolds is going to have to play a key part in this team. So the passing weapons aren't great. He probably has to start 15-plus games for this to even be close, and that assumes he's effective. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence, it was bad for Urban Meyer, but anyway, bets like that, it's under 18.5 passing touchdowns. It's at minus 125 on DraftKings. I think it's a solid bet. But I want to close this out, Mike. Any other players that you just want to, like, the very end, maybe, you know, throw out there that we'll find out today that maybe gets drafted in the second round and you're the happiest man on the planet?
Come on now. I mean, well, The real answer is Trey Benson. I can't wait for his landing spot, because if it is a good one, that will be so exciting for fantasy purposes. And if you listen to the Dynasty podcast, it's a little unfortunate because I truly do. Like, I started talking about this guy because I really actually believe in the player. And then it turned into a bit because I just love a good bit. Hmm. But it's a bit that has a strong foundation of actual belief. It is just now turning into like a Bill Brasky situation. But it's Ben Sinnott, the senator, in my opinion, the tight end too. Like, I've joked, he's the tight end one. That's where the bit is.
That's a great bit.
I'm not taking him over Brock Bowers, people. That's not real. But I think that Sinnott could find himself to be a day two pick, and essentially the draft capital matters, of course, but like the number one thing that matters for us for fantasy purposes to the tight end position, it's athleticism. And the dude is a monster.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I know Theo, you're like, oh, Theo Johnson. Yes, Theo Johnson also has a chance. But to me, Sinnott has the athletic traits. And then watching him, like, dude, that's a man. That's a guy who's not going to get bullied and pushed around in the NFL. That's a guy who's going to bring the pain.
We'll see where I hope it's a creative team, man. Because he can play all over the field, the fullback, kind of hybrid move, tight end role, George Kittle stuff. Like, those are fun players. We need fun players in fantasy, especially at the tight end position. The running backs, like you said, that's going to be a big story today that we find out. And then I just got to know where, like, Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey, all those players. Betts and I, next week, will be starting the summer of best ball. We'll be walking through and kind of giving some strategy. And one of the things that I've been studying is rookie wide receivers. We're way too low. And then over the summer, you get that drum beat and people say, oh, I can see that happen. So I'm excited to talk about those players and kind of give people a perspective of, here's how you can invest in them now in best ball, and then it can go places.
And now I just want to close it out. Kyle, your tweet as of this time, up to 1,400 likes. Is this your biggest tweet ever?
I probably said something stupid one time. I can't remember.
This is not done. Like, this thing is still traveling.
No,
This is your viral moment, Kyle.
Yeah, and it's me pointed. I tried to figure out a different way. If you want to, you can go on Twitter and find it. But it is, imagine your bosses in your darkest moment pointing and saying, ha, take that.
That's how you know that we're good, fun bosses, though.
No, it's great stuff. Anyway, join us again next week. We'll talk best ball. We'll see you.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com.